My first point is that they were walking. They were walking, and while they were walking, they were talking. And what we can learn from this amazing story, which is just an amazing short story in the Bible, a bit like the prodigal son, which is a bit a picture for how all of us can be in life, sad, confused, uncertain, broken. And the first thing to learn from this is that they were talking about it. And my first point really is, do you talk about the ways of God in your home, in your family? Do you walk and talk? Do you ever discuss questions that really puzzle you? Why is this not happening? Why is this not working out? Why has there not been an answer like we've been praying for? Are we people who just keep silent and bottle it in, or are we families who know how to talk and walk? And it says in Malachi 3:16, then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another, and the Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. It seems that if we're able to talk about these things and talk about his ways, as the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, talk about him while you're on your way. Talk about him when you rise up. Talk about him when you go to sleep. Somehow he comes. So that's the first thing, talking. The second thing in this story is interpreting. So he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted all the scriptures said concerning himself. So talking and then interpreting. Could the children come back? Because I've got a few more questions to ask you. Run, run, run. Come on, don't be shy. These are going to be more difficult, but here we go. Can anybody think of a story in the Old Testament? Okay. Tell me the name of a story in the Old Testament. Finn, here we go.
Jonah and the whale.
Jonah and the whale. I thought it was Noah's Ark. Okay, you prefer Jonah. What's that got to do with Jesus? Interpret it for us. Oh, he can do it. You know, he is the champion quiz master. So here we go.
God told him to go to
Nineveh.
Well done. Yeah, Nineveh.
But he didn't want to go, so he tried to go the other way, thinking that God wouldn't see him.
Yeah.
But God did.
Right. And how long was he in the belly of the whale, do you reckon? Yeah. Does it remind you of anything?
Jesus
said time supposedly dead. That's the second one you've got. He would interpret Jonah inside the whale and say, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, so I have been in the belly of the earth 3 days. Why didn't Jesus just come back to life immediately? Answer, because he was really dead. To show that he was truly dead. Okay, give me another story from the Old Testament.
Walking to Emmaus?
Nope, that's in the New Testament.
The story of Esther.
Very good. Is your name Esther? I've got a very comforting person patting my leg here. That's great. Now, why? What has Esther got to do with Jesus? There's a question. You are Esther.
Because God was there and helping.
Yeah? That's a good try. Can you any advance on that?
God was always with her.
Yeah. Very good. Do you know what she did?
Saved the Jews.
Yes. Do you know what she said, Esther 4:14? Who knows? Who knows the scripture? Who knows but that you have, let's say it together, come to royal position for such a time as this. In the same way, where are you? That, yes, that Esther went into the presence of the king, the Lord Jesus Christ went into the presence of the Father. Intercessor. Esther is an intercessor, and Jesus is a true and better Esther, the great intercessor. Another Old Testament story to interpret.
The shepherd and his lamb.
Which shepherd?
You know, the one where the lost sheep, I meant.
Now, that's Jesus told that story. That's not Old Testament. You'll have to do better than that, and I know you can.
The one with the guy with the colourful cloak.
The one with the guy with the colourful cloak. Can you do better than that?
So there was the son who was the favourite, so he got Joseph.
You're just cheating, Andrew. Come on. So his name was Joseph. This is a great one. This might be the last one. In what way is Joseph like Jesus? How would Jesus interpret? Do you remember? He might have been on the way to Emmaus. Do you remember Joseph?
What is it? Because he was the favourite out of his father.
He was the favourite. That'll do for a starter. Do you know what happened to him?
He got chucked into a...
Pit.
And his brothers sold him to...
And he was sold for how much?
I don't know.
30 pieces of silver. And then he was put in prison. Does that remind you of anybody?
Yep.
Who?
Jesus.
Jesus. Did I give you any sweeties? Jesus is a true and better Joseph. The whole of the Old Testament speaks of Jesus. Everything in it. Every sacrifice, weird lambs and sprinklings and blood and, you know, vegetables and things that are mysterious, they all speak of Calvary and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And Joseph was sold by his brothers. He was put in a pit. He went into Egypt. And there, as life turned around on a hinge, history turned around, he brought all his brothers together. And so the Lord Jesus, who was thrown in a pit and sold and risked death completely, in the end ends up being the gatherer of all his brothers. This morning he has gathered from every nation. He's been looking for his brothers. He's looking for you this morning. Will you be gathered around his table like Joseph gathered them around his table? Last one.
Well... it's Noah and Noah's Ark.
Noah's Ark. Okay, what's that got to do with Jesus? Have we done Noah already? No, Jonah. Okay. What's it got to do with Jesus?
He protected the animals.
Yeah.
And just like Jesus protects us.
Right, go and sit down again because I want to say something else. That was amazing. Give them a clap. Aren't they brilliant? No, you can't. No. Later. All right. So, talking, interpreting, and then thirdly, they entreated him to come and stay with them. Asking. That's the third thing I want to say. On this story, they said, please come and join us. And on Easter Day, I want to ask you, families in St. Aldate's in Oxford, are you asking him to help you? Are you entreating him? So many people faced with trouble and sadness, even with a bit of interpretation, don't hold on to Jesus and entreat him to come home with them. How about this morning? Beseeching Jesus to come to your home And the fact is, God tests us as to whether we care. A.W. Tozer wrote a book called God Tells the Man Who Cares. And I believe God tells the woman who cares. But do we care? Do we ask him? And here's a little story of someone in this church, an undergraduate. She said this at her baptism. At this point, she wasn't a Christian, I prayed for him just to show me he was there and that I'd follow him. And less than 24 hours later, he did. In that moment, I felt nothing was the same. I remember afterwards sitting outside reading John's Gospel, knowing it was true, and that the same Jesus on the pages had come into my life. She entreated him. He came into her life. Then she said this, since then, that moment where I received Jesus to come into my home, I felt new. I felt myself change. I literally felt my eyes open to know such a sense of peace and joy. Life in every way tastes sweeter. And actually for me, what once seemed unknown fairy tales in an old book, tales of fishermen 2,000 years ago, for me are actually my story. Jesus came to them, told them who he was, and said, come follow me. And they did, and so did I. Entreat him, talking, interpreting, asking. And then in this story, fourthly, understanding that Jesus in fact did rise from the dead. That was the great fourth thing in this story. He began to explain to them how it was necessary for Christ to suffer. And we often think that God will save us from our suffering and don't understand it, but we need to understand that God will save us through his suffering. Not necessarily from our suffering, but through his suffering, he will open a gate of heaven. Understanding came to them. They maybe understood that Jesus had risen from the dead. Do you understand that? You're in church on Easter Day, but you know, 40 years ago or something like that, when I was not a Christian, I went on a journey. I found that Jesus was definitely dead. I found that his body was gone. I found that the Jewish authorities and the Romans could not produce it to stop the rumor. I find that people met him risen from the dead. In fact, on 11 occasions, he appeared to people, once to more than 5,000 people. I knew it wasn't hallucinations. And then I found that the church was born from that moment. And I began to get understanding. I was so prejudiced against the resurrection. Maybe this morning you're here and you just think, it couldn't be true, it could never be proved. But I want to say that to the unbiased inquirer, there is a burden of proof that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He was different. His body was different. These disciples could not recognize him. But in the end, they understood. Why couldn't they recognize him? Why didn't Mary recognize him? She thought he was the gardener. Because his body was different. The same but different. It was a resurrection body. It was sown in dishonor. It was raised in glory. It was the same but different. They couldn't recognize him, and then they did recognize him. Do we understand that? And can we believe it? A lot of people research this. I brought with me today various weighty tomes. I'm not going to read them to you, but they've all come out in the last 10 years. Tim Keller, The Reason for God, you know, has a great chapter on the resurrection towards the end. And he brings in new evidence, above all, perhaps. I mean, Michael Green, 30 years that changed the world, beginning with the resurrection. Michael, who was a rector of this church, said this about the resurrection. The church beginning from a handful of uneducated fishermen and tax gatherers, swept across the whole known world in the next 300 years. It is a perfectly amazing story of peaceful revolution that has no parallel in the history of the world. It came about because Christians were able to say to inquirers, Jesus did not only die for you, he is alive. You can meet him and discover for yourself the reality we're talking about. They did. They joined the church, and the church, born from that Easter grave, spread everywhere. Understanding. Here is N.T. Wright's great 1,000-page examination called The Resurrection of the Son of God. It's just brilliant. It's making a marriage between historicity and faith, which apparently you're not allowed to do in academia anymore. But he does that. He looks into what people thought about resurrection, what evidence there is, what the faith communities made of it, how the church came into being. It's scholarly. I recommend it. If you have doubts, I'll give it to you. Read that, you know. Don't say, oh, well, I haven't got time. Don't say, yeah, oh, well, you know, I'm not that concerned. C.S. Lewis on the resurrection. If the thing happened, it was the central event in the history of the earth. It's the central event in the history of the earth. Have you looked into it? Understanding. I'm just going to close by showing a little clip of a friend of ours who's preaching where it happened this morning. Here we go. A few hours ago, Ponsonby,
I was in America,
put the volume up.
2 weeks ago, and someone just handed me a book. I was reading through this book. I thought, well, I'm set just down there, here in the garden tomb. There was a famous evangelist who was instrumental in leading the Jesus movement in the late 60s and early 70s. And in the early 70s, he came to Jerusalem on a trip, and he was in this room. He was giving his testimony. He was in this tomb praying. And suddenly a young man walked in, and he stood up and he said, what do you want? And it rather freaked out this guy who was visiting, and he said, I'm looking for God. And he said, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, he's risen. And then he shared the gospel with this young man, and this young man was overwhelmed and said yes to Christ and received him into his life, received forgiveness and the lordship of Jesus. And then they parted. Sometime later, this evangelist received a letter, and it told this young man's story. The young man was suicidal. He just was filled with a sense of hopelessness and despair at his life and for the future. He tried various religions, he tried cults, he tried the occult. Nothing met this need. And finally he gave God, as it were, an ultimatum. He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to go to the garden tomb. And if I don't meet you on this day, I'm going to commit suicide. He had a whole bottle full of powerful narcotics waiting at his hotel in Jerusalem. And so he comes and he walks into the tomb. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. And that man met God. And his life was transformed. And he didn't need to take his life. Christ gave him eternal life and life to the full. And that's what today is all about. It's a wonderful day. It's the day of days. He is not here. He is risen. Let's stand.
Let's stand.
We're going to sing again.
Ponsonby in the garden tomb today. You saw it here. We'll put that on the website. It's a great talk. He had to get up at sunrise with Matthew Key to preach just there. It would be great. We're going to take communion in the round. Talking. Let's just pray. Lift your face to heaven. Father, help us to talk at home today, even when we are at our saddest, about you and what you're doing and why things aren't as we want them to be. When there's illness, when there's frustration, when there's apparently no answer, help us to talk. Help us to interpret. Help us to ask you into our situations and help us to understand and meet you in the breaking of the bread. In Jesus' name, amen.